Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, to this edition of Let's Talk About Love. Today our program is from a half an hour to an hour, so sit tight. We're going to have an exciting show. I've got an exciting guest, and just want to go over a few details with you as we get started. I want to first shout out to Beata Skarret and her daughter Lisa Marie. They live in Norway, and they follow the program. And the call-in number today for the second half hour of the show, the call-in number, make a note of this. I'll probably tell you again. Make a note of this number if you want to call in to talk to Freedom. It is 917-889-7055. One more time, 917-889-7055. Now, the rules on the call-in, we welcome your calls. Make sure that when you get on, identify yourself, make any brief comment that you want to make, and then ask Freedom your question. You'll have 90 seconds for your own air time. All right, last order of business. The book, Love and Come Alive, that I've been working on all this year, it will be out September 15th. And I want you to know that for all of you who ask me for it at info@OscarCrawford.media, you can have the first three chapters to begin to read. I welcome you to ask for that. All right, now, my guest today is a great, great friend who I love from my heart. Just the first moment we met, I can still see her as she walked into that Starbucks where we met, this caramel-colored, beautiful woman in a bright yellow dress. And there I'm sitting. I've now got to remember my name to remember why I'm there to see her, because I'm caught up in looking at her. But her name is Freedom Pearson, and you're going to enjoy her conversation with us today. Freedom describes herself as a survivor of grief and all related pain. A warrior for love because she needed it. Spoken word artist because sometimes you've just got to say it. She has overcome extraordinary life experiences with great courage, thereby deepening her ability to connect with people and motivate with power. After spending years dedicated to her own healing, she now applies these tools to freedom of you and uses programs and workshops she develops to help people fight their way out of perceived bondage and into the life they deserve. Freedom Pearson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, my oh so awesome Oscar. Thank you so much.
It is a joy to have you. It is a joy to have you. And I talk about you often, and people have seen me post stuff of yours on Facebook and Instagram for a while, and now they've seen pictures and ask about you. So now everybody's going to get a taste and a dose of freedom, and I couldn't be more pleased. So we're talking about love, which is a thing I believe we both master in. Why don't you begin to just say a little bit about who you are to everybody and just move on into love as you understand it as process.
I absolutely will. If you don't mind, first, I would like to give a booyah, a boorah, a bosise. Basically, I'm saying may my offering be accepted. May it be carried, and may it bring about change. That's what I stand on. That's my principle, love itself, not the definitive word that we look up in the dictionary or someone else's description, but what does love feel like to you, and can you recognize it when it shows up? A lot of us miss the call because we're looking for a pre-dressed, a pre-script description of what love is. And love's knocking on our door all day long, even for ourselves. But if we're not in that energy, 500 megahertz or above, at that energy to feel the love, then we often miss it. And that's what Freedom of You, that's what we do. Alchemy, M-E, not M-Y. We transmute ourselves. Take all the bad, all the nasty, all the negative that we've ever taken into our life and we transmit that into a loving, powerful energy first for ourselves so that we're able to recognize authentic love when it shows up. And then we can reflect that outward from ourselves to others in that same energy. That's alchemy.
Oh, my goodness. I hope everybody is hearing what Freedom is having to say. You don't need to ever read another book. You don't need to ever go to another webinar or to another class. If you can receive what you heard in this first 2 minutes of Freedom talking to you today, you will have an understanding of love that 99.99% of the people on planet Earth never have a clue of. You will be the saint among the many who are hungry to eat spiritual food like they've never had before. But did you hear her say that you have to first become love? You have to engage it first. You have to know it first. You have to experience it first from the results of your experiences and be ready for love. Not the other way around. Love is never like Papa John. It's not like that. Freedom, continue. Let's rock and roll. I'm loving all that.
Thank you for that. Not at all. So my favorite tool that I like to use is a hand mirror. And I like to start that in a very first process of consultation with clients. And I like to hear them describe themselves to me. Before we go into the gist of who they are, I want to know who they believe they are right now at this time. 9 out of 10 times, if we go for 5 action verbs, 2 to 3 of those action verbs are of a negative energy first off. And then we kind of soften it up towards the 4th and the 5th. And then finally, if we get an extra one in, then we might say, but I'm good at what I do. See, all of that other stuff that goes to that point, that builds us up to that initial number one thing of how we feel about ourselves. You know, I've had a bad life, but I made it work. You know, I had a bad childhood, but hey, I'm still here now. Instead of us taking that, I'm not sure. Oh, I know you're familiar with Ho'oponopono, right? It's the old Hawaiian meditation that we kind of go in and meet our young self, that young girl, that young boy, when we were first disconnected from spirit to this negative, nasty physical form, right? And then so we spend that time there and we say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. And thank you. Right? And then you have to repeat this process until you're able to feel that you've forgiven yourself and that it's okay for you to celebrate your shadow along with your shine. See, a lot of us just want to bling, bling out. All of us want to shine. Nobody really wants to turn around and look at the shadow. We're afraid of the shadow. Some of us are afraid of the dark. But we have to be reminded that in order to have a shadow, there has to be some light somewhere.
Okay, let me give back what I'm hearing you say. I want to make everybody get this. Now the two voices, it's more likely that people are going to get all these powerful things that you're saying. All right, so let me just begin where you finished there. Listen, our pluses and minuses are all one thing. It's we who divide them all up and give them value one way or the other. This is good, this is bad, this is wrong, this is right. And that doesn't work for anybody. All it does is cause division and people to have conflict within themselves. And if we've got conflict within ourselves, we will find a way to have it with other people. And until we resolve and accept that, we're never going to get anywhere. And I like the part where you talked about speaking to the younger self. I often speak to little O, because little O need to know we make it. I need him to know we make it. And I need to, just like you said, I need to thank him for having held on and held out that we could get to where we are now. But I often talk to him because I say, brother, I know it's tough, but you are tougher.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
You know, people think you're crazy and you're walking through the grocery store or you're spending time at the park and you say out loud, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. And they always ask me, what did you say? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just talking to myself. Well, the number one thing they tell you when they give you a bad attachment of the crazy is people who talk to themselves. But I'm more inclined that we're the ones who's grounded and connected, because that's that second ear listening to spirit when spirit's redirecting us. Once you open up the line of communication between you and spirit, there's no closing it off. You can't open it only in prayer and then close it and be busy about your day. That right. line of communication stays open consistently. And whether we're paying attention or not, there's always little nudges, little signs, little notes from the universe that says, hey, remember me? Remember what we talked about? Remember what you asked me for? Here it is. And we're like, this isn't what I'm asked for. I asked for a brand new shiny car, right?
Right.
And
right.
universe is like, no, you asked me for abundance in all areas. You're just looking for the car. But
right.
how about the blessing that you give while walking to the bus stop and the three or four people that you run into with a smile and greet that are normally invisible to the rest of the world? See, that's where we have to get connected onto spirit using us. It's not about us using spirit to gain monetary gain here on this earth. That's all going to come when we are in alignment with our purpose. Everything that we need for our purpose is along the path. We just pick it up along the path. As long as we're going straight, what does our millennials say now? Stay in your lane, right?
Right?
When you're in your lane, traffic and energy is constantly flowing. No one else can block our energy. We block our own energy when we stop and we look back towards the path. Then we get traffic, right? Bumper cars. Bumping.
Sure.
Our blessings are constantly flowing, but we miss them because we're too busy looking for what we have attached to the physical eye as being abundance or prosperous or blessed.
I got you.
Then
I'm certainly with you because I know one of the prayers I've always prayed is not to get ahead of God. And I don't impose my God understanding on other people, but my own understanding. I know that every time I had the audacity to operate out of my ego and get ahead of God, I always created another mess. And I created mess after mess until my awakening in my mid-30s. And when you talked about transmuting earlier on, when I learned or discovered that I could transform all of my hurt, anger, and pain into love, I was just repeating the same mess over and over and over again. But from that point on, it's been one moment of divinity after another, and I'm not trying to go back. I don't need the mess that I've survived. It helped make me, but I don't need to revisit it to affirm who I am now. Don't need it at all. So I hear you. Energy attracts energy.
You're exactly right. What you just described is one of the tools that we use to get out of the grief. It's okay that we grieve. That's a part of process. But when we stay there too long or we constantly go back to revisit that feeling or that emotion and we overstay our welcome, when the pain shows up in our body, headaches, arthritis, anxiety, depression, that's your sign that the shadow is telling you it's time for you to leave. You spent too much time here. It's time for you to go. It's okay to feel it, but you have to face it, then you have to be able to heal from it. And you can't heal as long as you stay in that energy. You know,
okay, can I raise a question for you real quick? Sure. Can
sure.
I raise a question with you real quick? I'd like you to speak to people about one of the things that I find, and my work is primarily with women, but I work with some men. I find that people get their identity needs met in the part of them that they say causes them grief, right? Nobody loves them properly. Everybody does them bad. But that's all they talk about. And when I try to say to them, you know, you have a relationship already. You're not looking for another one. You have one because you're getting your identity
right.
needs met through being connected with your pain and taking it out on everybody else every time you get a chance. Would you talk to that for a bit?
Well, some of us want to be, you know, we talked about the people we pass by that are normally invisible to the world. And sometimes the loudest wheel gets the oil, right? We've always said that. That's the cliche that we've been born on. So if I scream out and say, woe me, I'm the victim, everybody's going to come with the, oh, that's going to be the attention. Even when our children, you know, they just want attention. So if we're not giving them enough love, then we're going to start noticing them getting in trouble a lot because they want the attention. And that goes to the human flesh as well. We're all the same. Just like the river or the oceans reflect the sky, we live in a mirror universe. We are mirror reflections of ourselves. So if I say I love you, and you don't recognize it, that's not me. It's because you don't have that love energy in you to recognize my love.
Agreed.
We have to be able to recognize these frequencies and then not only recognize them, but remember when we felt like that. All of us have felt invisible at one point in our time, in our life. We feel invisible. People want to be seen. So the special thing is we don't have to only be seen for our story. People tell the sad story because we want to be seen. We no longer even ourselves want to be there because it doesn't feel good. Who just signs up to go somewhere that doesn't feel good, you know?
Right,
we all
right.
want to be the first in line for something that feels good.
Right.
The line for the headache is going to be empty. Nobody's going to deliberately sign up for that. And when
right.
we tell those bad stories, when we tell our story of grief, when we tell our story of heartache, when we remind ourselves over and over and over again that we were wounded, we stay so far away from the warrior, that energy of I made it. I
right.
made it out. I once was there, and I'm not there anymore. I was able to come to the light. See, the ability to do it is the secret. It's no
sure.
secret, but that's the ability.
Mm-hmm.
To get there. And we miss that ability because we're so busy spending time on the things that didn't feel good or did not bless or did not prosper or did not open eyes, however you want to look at it. When you choose, that's the thing. We choose the energy to participate in. When we choose that negative energy and then the storm comes, we're all mad at the weatherman. But
right.
we never really looked at the energy of what we requested for the universe, what we chose to bring into our lives, lovers, friends, family, relationships, jobs, whatever the case may be. We are in complete control over what happens. And when we choose the shadow, we're going to stay in the storm. And when you choose the light and the sun, it's like a blind person being taken away from the sun for so long. When they finally get back in there, it's like they can see and feel everything they've missed. Nobody's in a hurry to go back. So how do we stay out of the shadow? Because it's going to show. It's going to appear. Equal balance of light and dark is who we are. How
okay,
do we stay at that line of polarity? That's the question.
There are two things then that I want to bounce off of you now. One is I'm totally with you. Everybody, I'll back up and say most people most of the time would like to feel relevant. We like to feel there is meaning to our existence. And at the same time, there's this propensity of need to focus on what we don't want over against what we want. That was the big theme of Jane Byrne's work, The Secret. Focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And you know, waking people up to that simple idea is almost as if you're an alien from another planet saying, what is wrong with you? Who does that? Well, those of us who are awakened and have discovered that it works, and it works in our best interest because we make it work, life becomes radically different. And, you know, there are times, Freedom, I have to admit this, there are times that I've been known to quote this saying over the years that I don't love anybody enough to allow them to waste my time. So if I've spent a considerable amount of time making effort to help someone become conscious enough of themselves to be able to declare what they want over against worshiping what they don't want, there are times that I have to say, I bless you and love you, and I have to leave you to your own awakening and someone else maybe to pick you up from here, because there's nothing more for me to do. I have nothing more to give because there's just so many others I need to be spending time with to accomplish the same thing. Can you take it from there? Talk to me how you relate to all I just said.
Yeah, I love it, and sometimes it hurts when we have to let go, and it's the best thing to do. See, humans are the only ones here that hold on for so long. The bird pushes the baby out, even if the wings are broke. Figure it out.
That's right.
You know, that's life. Yeah. We're the ones who keep ourselves and our children in such an infantilization stage for so long. It's hard for us to learn because we protect them from life lessons and hard lessons. And so to speak on that right there, people being responsible for the energy, and then those of us who are healers, who are empaths, and we want to heal and help, and everyone that comes across, we take it. Their problems are our problems. I don't know about you, but I always find myself in that position. I can't have somebody I love who hurts and I not try to fix it or help. That's just who I am. But sooner or later, when we put all that we can put into them and it's time for them to take off and go on their own, we stay too long. See, that's that part we talked about, staying in that shadow too long, and then it starts to drain, and then resentment comes up, and then we're questioning if we're even doing the right thing or if we're even in the right energy to help this person, when in reality, our intention is always to bless and to heal. But if we stay anywhere too long, that intention can change because we're human. If spirit was able to drive everything, we'd have none of the negative, nasty things that's going in the world today. But they need us. They need the physical human part to actively participate in the healing as a whole. And you know this because we're friends and we talk often, but Moana, the movie, is the perfect depiction of this. Mm-hmm. When we steal the heart of the earth and the earth starts dying, ozone, our trees, our bees, our animals, things like that, they start dying. It's because the earth is screaming for love. It's only when we return the heart, our heart, to the earth, to source, to God, whatever your entity is, when we return the heart to the original source, then our energy and the source energy is amplified, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. And just like the waves in the ocean, it spreads. It goes further and further. Then at that point, the people in our circle of our vortex, or those who are in our alignment, sooner or later will get it. But we have to remove the responsibility from ourselves of, one, feeling like we should be responsible for someone's accomplishments, or two, feeling that we have to be responsible for others' failures. See, we're not responsible at all. We are responsible for the intention of the actions that we choose to participate in. That's our responsibility. The outcome is not ours at all.
I'm with you. And these are all pieces in the puzzle to awaken up consciousness that even though, and like you said earlier, even though there may be significant pain in our past, it was only a preparation tool for us to arrive at our awakening. It wasn't for us to stay with forever and worship and take meaning out of the pain. No, that's totally opposite of where we're headed. But when we can take all the things, and even if we have people we say hurt us, when we come to the point where we can forgive them and love them, knowing that they were operating with the best that they had at the time, life just frees us up to love. And freedom, we both do this. So when I'm out every day, I don't know who it's going to be that I'm to love. I just know what's going to happen. I wouldn't have it any other way. And when it happens, I just light up. I know my energy goes beyond the 500 megahertz. It just sings, it soars, it flies. And that's what I love about you. This is who you are. And I know you've been through your share of experiences as well, but you have emerged golden light for the people who can see and have words for the people who can hear. And I don't think we can ask for a better calling in our life.
Truth. You know, one of the things that I try to carry in my heart, I have a bracelet. I call them trigger trinkets. They're available. And my trigger trinket reminds me to be grateful. It also reminds me about selfishness. So those who are selfish will come to bear their loads alone. None of us are meant to be alone. And so when we participate in those energies, if we don't, like you said, if we're spending time on the things we don't want, that's still money currency spent. So would you give your last dollars to your worst enemy? Probably not. You would give them some, I'm sure, the hearts that we have, but we wouldn't give our last knowing that we have no more coming, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to treat our energy the same way. Energy, frequency, currency, monetary, they're all the same. And what we forget in this lifetime is that, you know, the things, those of us who sow seeds of wickedness, we plant them upon the heads of our children. So whether we pay for the cost of our actions or our children or our grandchildren, there is going to be cost due. Debt with the universe does not disappear without work. And that's what we forget. And that's why we're here where we are now, because a lot of the things have fallen on our heads, on our hearts, and our lives of our ancestors who were not aware of the way that universe loves. We were only, again, participating in a pre-written, pre-scripted observation of what someone else's life was. Someone else's life, someone else's book is going to teach you how to be the best you, and they don't even know who you are. You're the
right.
only one who can teach you how
right.
to be the best you.
Right. Absolutely.
You're true. The only one.
Yeah. Yeah. I have
the
been
books
saying
are good.
They are. They have information, but what I've been trying
Absolutely.
To help people understand, what I've been trying to help people understand lately is, if you are on this quest, search for love, I just need you to know really quick, you have no idea what it looks like. It could be staring you in the face or walking beside you, and you never know, because you're expecting some magical, mystical moment to jump up and say, here I am, fulfill yourself, and that's not the way it happens. I'm teaching people now that the only way love has opportunity to find you is for you to be prepared. And when love knocks, don't ask if I can go brush my hair. Can I go change clothes? When love shows up, you got to be ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely. Stay ready. Don't have to get ready. Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
But I want to add on to that,
go ahead.
If you don't mind, really quick.
No,
I just want to add on to that. And when we're in that position, we have to be careful of our words that we speak, the spells that we speak on ourselves. Opposed to saying that I'm standing here and ready for love, we can rephrase that and say, I am love. So when you are love, love attracts love. It's going to show up. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful when you can and say, I am love. Despite, forgive me for whatever I've done, knowingly or unknowingly, to myself or to you. That's love. We don't need a pre-description of what was done. Oscar, you said or did this to me, and that really hurt my feelings. That does not. That's a waste of time and energy. When I can look at my friend and you can look, or our loved ones or people we meet, and they say, you know what? I forgive you. We don't need a explanation. Universe or God already knows what's going on. What was the intention of your heart when you did what you did? Then you can go in your storehouse and start calculating what you have saved up, what you have available, and what we have for residual income. And a lot of us are broke. Our bank accounts, our spirit, our body, our health, we're all in lack because we do not want to do the work, nor do we want to hold ourselves accountable for the actions or responses or the energy that we have thus once participated in. Choosing right now, love anyhow, even if it doesn't feel good.
Yes, absolutely.
But I wanted to add.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. What I want to do is I just want to set people up and know that the call-in line will be open in about 2 minutes. And I want to give you that number again. To talk to Freedom today, call 917-889-7055. If you are out of the United States, you may add the prefix 1. And if you have access to call through Skype or one of the other services that will let you dial that number direct, that will work well for you, and we'll try to get you in the queue. All right. Freedom, we've got a couple of minutes before we open the line, so I just want to thank you ahead of time for all that you're saying. You're laying down, you know, follow the yellow brick road. You're laying down a golden road that my high hope is that someone listening to you talk today is going to have some moment of discovery where they say, could it be possible that I could accomplish all my heart hopes to by simply doing what I've heard, just becoming love first within myself? Could you talk about self-love for a minute before we transition to take calls?
Well, that's my favorite. I remember the day I fell in love with myself. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in the mirror, just me in full flesh, butt naked, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the time from head to toe, and I said, look at how beautiful you are. I looked at every freckle. I looked at every mole. I looked at every scar. I looked at every wrinkle, every piece of pudge, every extra piece of meat, and I just spent time loving on it. And then when you get in that space of energy, because, you know, in order to get to love from shadow, it's a staircase. You have to have one positive feeling, then you attach to that positive feeling, then it gets greater, then you have another feeling and a bigger feeling and a bigger feeling, and we just keep going until we get to that one energy of love. And then while you're there, I just took a drink of some water, and I said, you are your most beautiful, perfect, purposeful, healthy self. Those affirmations I say every day in the shower. I try to remind myself while drinking water to say those things to my spirit. You are your most beautiful, perfect, purposeful, healthy self. By those affirmations clicking through my head daily, all day, no matter what happens, I'm reminded that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And instead of the woe me or why me, I always now say, wow, me? You trust me?
Yeah.
You trust me with this amount of hurt, this amount of pain? You trust me? And you have to know that even with our children, business owners, whatever, you give your most precious job to the employee or child that you trust is going to finish the job. It's going to get it done. So when I look at the hard times and hardships that have fallen on my life that I've taken responsibility for, I'm no longer sad, like, oh, my God, my life, I have so much. Now I'm like, wow, you trust me with this? What is it about freedom that you see? Please show me, because I'm not familiar with her yet. You know, it's those kind of conversations that keeps grounded, keeps you in this energy. You know, and I laughed the other day because I said, this is why, you know, we see the older, you know, our older generation, they may whisper or talk to themselves, and, you know, you hear on the block, that's the crazy witch down there. She talks to herself. She doesn't know. She's not talking to herself. She's talking to spirit for guidance. We're having conversations. These are my friends now, right?
Yeah,
I can talk
yeah.
to God and say, you are something else. I see what you're doing, and okay, right? And then I laugh to myself, and then it's exactly the opposite of what we would have declared to be our win or our lose. You know, it's prime example, really quick, relevant. I work with somebody who is always negative, always. I don't care what you, if you bring her coffee, she'll say, well, I don't drink, you know, Irish. I like, you know, caramel, right? Not the thank you for thinking about me. So instead of falling into that energy of me getting upset, well, I'm not probably not going to bring her coffee anymore because she's ungrateful. What I did was I brought coffee and three different kind of creamers, and she kind of giggled, right? But I feel like that's what universe gives us. We give you what you want, and then you have choices. You choose if this coffee is going to taste good to you, or you choose if it's not the flavor that you were requesting at this time. But we have choice, and when we choose the energies that we are participating in, then we also have to take responsibility of the outcome of the energies that we chose to participate in.
For sure. Now,
so my
key
word is, I see you.
I see you. I love it. I love it. Listen, here, I want to affirm for people what they're hearing by having it out of the mouth of two witnesses, because what you just shared in your discovery of yourself, I told you my awakening came in my mid-30s, and I was in graduate school at the time, and there was a PhD lady there who was always presenting herself really sad. Now, she wasn't a really attractive woman, but my task always is, I want to affirm the beauty in you so you can have something to feel good about yourself. And so when I caught her in this moment of sadness, and she's just wearing that like it's a badge of honor, I spoke to her of her beauty, and she got huffy and walked off. And it was in that moment I discovered it wasn't about her, it was about me. That I truly could not discover something in another that wasn't part of who I already am. And so when I began to think in the context of being beautiful, you know, as being a man, that felt a little funny at first until I had to get over that part of the equation as well. But I discovered my personal beauty that night, and it began to add to this composite of the person I was becoming. Everything was transforming. Everything was transforming I was becoming now a magnet for people ready to discover or who have already discovered themselves and already awakened. So I wanted people to hear that. Now, the second piece is that we don't have to buy into what people are selling. Is I used to have a friend. He was one of the original astronauts of NASA, but not one chosen to go to space. One day, he and I were in a building, and all of a sudden, he just started to go off at me, looking at me. He wasn't going off at me, but he was looking at me, directing all this anger and anguish at me. And I looked at him and said, man, I am so glad I have nothing to do with whatever you're upset about. And he stopped to laugh because he was a much better person than he was revealing in the moment. Now, what I could have done and what we all too often have done is buy into it, start a fight, and just make it much worse. And I'm with you, Freedom. I so admire that our tracks are so similar and that our understandings are too. There are some people who, if not listening to us live now, will listen later. And you spoke to this particular woman yesterday. I hope you all get to talk some because you are really, really in the same vein. Lorraine Carey, she's a paranormal author. She's been a teacher forever. She's lived out in the Cayman Islands for the last 10 years, and she just came back to Florida. But you spoke to her yesterday on Facebook. She is all that we are talking about now, too. And there are so many more of us, and we just don't know each other yet. All right, let me remind people of the line. Now that people can call 917-889-7055. Call now. Let's get you a conversation with Freedom. Okay, so, Freedom, what do you think, in the meantime, are the things that even people who have a perception of themselves being successful with money and material, what are the things that you believe are the most common stumbling blocks to people's awakening? What do you see people tripping over that they're doing themselves that's keeping them from seeing things as they really are, from loving themselves? What are your thoughts?
You know, this is going to open up a lot of worms for me, Oscar, but that's okay. I'm a warrior. I'm ready for it.
My number one
is religion in any form. It binds us to a descriptive of what God is, what love is, who and what we're supposed to be, pre-written from someone else. And so I believe that if we can remove the titles and tags, stereotypes of who and what God is or what religion is, you know, to take the religion out of spirituality, if we can get back to spirit, again, no titles, no tags, and be in that energy of spirit, it will open up so many doors for ourselves. It will release so many chains. It will take so many chains off our brains. It will release the shackles from our feet. It will release the shackles from our bank accounts, our relationships, everything. And I like to use that, number one, marriage, husband and wife, because we have a pre-description of what marriage is, and we buy into it, right? And we write these vows, and our vows are usually, you know, read with our pastor or pre-counseling, and somebody else tells us what God says and all of those things. And we haven't really taken the time to get to know ourselves, number one, nor have we built an individual relationship with God so our spirit can tell us, you know, that intuition says, no, this isn't right, or no, that's not the right thing to do. If we can remove those titles and tags from religion and get back to a spiritual part that we're just focusing and moving in spirit, it will heal so many broken relationships with self and others. It will heal so many broken hearts. It will fix diseases. You know, again, disease, dis-ease. When we bring dis-ease to other folks, we bring disease to ourselves. See, my granny, Annie, you know this, Annie Pack, the originator of Love Anyhow, she told me on her 95th birthday, impartiality's a sin. Anytime you treat someone else in any manner in which you're not willing to be accepted yourself, you bring dis-ease to them and you bring disease to yourself. Stop taking the wood and nickel, baby. Now, this comes from a 95-year-old woman 100 years ago. She walked around with this Holy Bible. You couldn't tell her nothing else. She was the power of the power. But for her to look at me and tell me to stop taking wood and nickels, do the work, Freedom. You know what's right. I can't tell you what's right. What does it feel like? I said, Granny, this is all I know. This is what they told me. She said, I don't care what nobody else told you. I asked you, what does it feel like? Does it feel good? No, then it's not. Stop taking wooden nickels. Stop cheating yourself out of happiness. Because I thought that love, and you know this because you talked to me about this at Starbucks the very first day we met. I had a picturesque view of what marriage and my husband and what love look like. And if it wasn't this, if it wasn't in this picture, this ain't love. You don't love me. This not right. When in reality, that was somebody else's book. That was somebody else's story. It was not my story, nor was it the energy who he was. He was loving with everything he had to love. And because it was not written in the pre-written book that I was subscribing to, I missed it. Ooh, did you catch that? I caught it right now. Because it was not pre-written in a scripted book that I subscribed to, I didn't know what love felt like to me.
Here's what
when
I know.
When love...
Here's what I know. I know that people historically have damaged themselves and others out of the need to believe their point of view was the superior or a supremacist point of view. I get it. I get it. And that's been the premise of religion. It's been the premise of nations. It's been the premise of families. And it's been the premise of individual egos, right? I get it. It's how we're all programmed. We're all programmed that way to determine our relative value out of how we have positioned ourselves over against everybody else. And my issue with traditional religion is that if you have to hold to something that makes you exclusive to everybody else and everybody else ultimately has no value, then that is not an acceptable proposition for you. And, you know, I don't expect to be around your life long enough to change that. But ultimately, we will see and have to acknowledge that that mess is killing people. It's been killing people. It will continue to kill people for a while. And we're going to have to finally at some point regard it of a humanistic growing pain, because we don't have the power to fix it, because most people across the earth hold to it in some form or fashion. And that's where I was thinking about whatever the youth system has been programmed to be. Even if we become enlightened enough to throw it away, we will recreate another one based on similar math, the plus and minus. The plus and minus we can never get away from until we understand that they are one thing and not two. The yin and the yang is not two things, it's one. And until we get to there's only one thing going on here, we will always have this polarized value system that has to make everybody else worth less than we're worth. Now, I know what that sounded like out of my voice and energy there, but I share that with you. It's killing people, and it will continue to kill people until those of us take enough time and design enough experiences for people to have a aha moment. Are you serious? Is it that simple? We're going to say yes. Doesn't mean they can get it that fast, but yes, it is that simple.
Mm-hmm. Very much that simple. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Sometimes just a quiet moment with yourself. Sometimes just a quiet moment with yourself. Not necessarily, you know, setting down a specific time for prayer or meditation, but even your drive home in traffic. Turn the radio off. Just be there in that space, in that energy. And when you look and tune your receptors, right, to the radio station in which you want to listen to, right, choosing, then what's going to come across those airwaves are going to be exactly what you need, what you want, what you desire, what you're hoping to connect with. So when you get quiet and you fix your receptors and you're saying, okay, I'm so confused by this. I have no idea what to do. This is brand new to me. Please guide me. Please help me. Please show me, whatever the case may be. I talk to my spirit guides like they're my home girl. Like, oh, my gosh, girl, did you just see this? Oh, I can't believe it. What am I supposed to do about this? And instead of me jumping to a conclusion of upset, they cut me off in traffic or whatever the case may be, I always give myself just that little itty-bitty time of sitting silent and quiet, okay? And then at that point, you connect the spirit and not the flesh. And spirit is going to remind you that you once were in a hurry and you cut someone off, right? Or you once were the one who, you know, said something negative off the top of your tongue because you were having a bad day and the spirit really was just trying to be there for you or, you know, talk what we talked about, see you, because most of us feel invisible. If you can just quiet yourself for a moment, just a teeny moment, spirit speaks swiftly and quickly and loudly. It's not a quiet whisper what we heard. Not that. Then they have to repeat themselves. They don't have to repeat themselves because they speak so boldly in their energy that's wrong, that's right. Do this, don't do that. Feel this, don't feel that. My spirit guides are so in tune with my pain that they constantly remind me that we don't want to go back there. So if I don't want to go back there, how could I consciously participate in doing something or saying something that will take my mirror effect, you, them, anyone else as one, back to that energy? I might as well just drag my own bag lady self back there and sit there if I'm going to constantly participate in the energies that takes someone else back to the darkness.
Gotcha.
I didn't like it. So now I have to pull everybody out. I want to be the one that goes and stand with just my tippy toe in the light. My whole body can be in the darkness. If I have to stretch all the way down to grab you, I'm willing to do that. But you can best believe that my big toe will always stay in the light because I need connect because I'm human too. We all fall short. I have to be reminded constantly every day that it's not about me. It's not your job. It's not my job, Oscar, to worry about if my bank account is full. My job is to make sure that I'm open to answer the phone calls when they need me. See, because when they need me, my storehouse always seems to be full. There's always enough for everybody, even me. So I've changed my prayer, Father, bless me. I've changed my prayer to me, for me, through me. That covers all. So there's always enough for everybody, energy, light, money, food, love, smile, whatever the case may be, I always have enough for someone else because I've built up enough residual income, enough residual energy, currency, frequency over the years of doing my own work and knowing, consciously knowing that that doesn't feel good. So consciously, I won't participate in activities that takes someone else to that place of not feeling good. Yes, it puts you in a position that some people want to take advantage of you. They know you're going to say yes. Yes, it puts you in a position that you're going to come across people who do not reciprocate these energies. And that's, again, when choosing comes in. You can choose to or you can choose not to. So my favorite word for that is I will do what I can do when I can do it. But if I can't, I won't. And I'm okay with that. I don't feel victim. I don't feel bad. I don't have a horrible thought like, oh, my God, I have to do this for him. If spirit says yes, I say yes. But if spirit says no, I've learned my lesson about saying yes even when spirit says no. So I retract myself from people, energy, situations, places. I made a promise I'm not going to show up anywhere that I have to put on a fake smile. I don't want to participate in those energies. I used to. But I enjoy my own company. I love myself now. I spent enough time with Freedom to know that she has a shadow and she has a shine. I'll celebrate my shadow just as I celebrate my shine. But I like to celebrate the shine more because it feels better.
I do hear you. So the one thing that you brought to my mind as you talk about your own prayer now, there are two practices for me at this point. One, I look up, the other, I feel what comes up. What I mean by looking up, I have this prayer. No, I have this declaration. I bless all that is with love, blessing, healing, peace, protection, security, calm, productivity, prosperity, and joy from the thoughts of my mind emanating in powerful waves of concentric circle energy, circumnavigating the globe north and south, east and west simultaneously, exponentially blessing all forms of life throughout creation, human, animal, plant, and planet, and other life forms. So mote it be and ever be and ever be. So if I'm earthing, if I'm out where I just have my bare feet on the ground, and I'm allowing the energy to come up and run through me from my feet through my crown chakra, the prayer is, the declaration is the same. If I'm meditating and I'm in the white light into my crown chakra to run down my spinal column and then up into my heart and broadcast out, it is the same. So like you, I've come to a place of oneness in that. And I know my physical being, there are some limits. But like you, I'm going to extend myself pretty much to the breaking point because that seems to be my design. Now, I'm a bit more protective of myself now than I was early in my life, but my propensity is to always go beyond the call of duty because somebody did that for me. And I'm not doing it as a payback. I'm doing it because it's right. It just be that moment that you spend with somebody or I spend with somebody that is their awakening moment, and I don't want to be responsible for having not done what I should have done.
Yes.
All right, Freedom Breeder, we're running out of time already. Talk to us of your hopes for love, for relationships in the future. What do you hope to see people arrive at?
I hope to see people alive in their authentic self and all-inclusive. Right? When we're there at that place, removing the titles, tags, stereotypes, chains, brains, things like that, when we can walk in our authentic self, then we can vibe in an authentic self energy, one self energy. So I like to give the description, if we all lost physical sight for 30 days and we couldn't see and we had to feel our way through, should have changed. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It will change. It will change. Earth, vibration, our rotation, everything will change because now the eyes only see what they're pre-programmed to see. So when we change the programming, when we change our source of downloads, when we get rid of all that junk spam mail that comes in and we get to the authentic self of clarity and things not having such a physical form but more of a spiritual vibration, and we move based on those vibrations, frequencies, and what feels good, then we'll start being attracted to authentic self, authentic path, authentic love, authenticity in its entirety. And we won't be bombarded by these nasty things that we create. Everybody wants to be rich and have money and be blessed and, you know, and have big houses and nice cars, and we have that. But what are we selling our, not really selling our soul, but what are we signing up for when we put 80 hours of time into working a corporate job and we're away from our family? See, we're going to have to go this deeper. But you remember, I was on my 60th hour working on a Saturday. It was just my daughter's birthday. It was Christmas the day before. And I'm on 60 hours. I'm on overtime on a Saturday. I should have been at the cheer meet watching my daughter become a cheerleader, but I was at work. And the phone rang when my oldest child was murdered. I was away from my family 60 hours in, working a job, paying for a house that still didn't belong to me. It belonged to the bank. It's a new form for me. Is a new form of slavery when I work so hard for money. So I changed it. Now I want to work that much harder for love. I'm a love warrior. I want to put 60 hours in to a woman who has no idea who she is. She was married for 40 years, raised her kids. All her favorite food was her kids' food, and her favorite color was what her husband liked on her the most. When you ask her at 55 years old, what's your favorite meal, and she tells you she doesn't know. See, she is worth my 60 hours. Because I want her to come to her authentic loving self of knowing who we are. When we know who we are, then we know where we're going. And then we are more adherent to what we're attracting into our life. That's manifestation. That's how you manifest what you want. See it, believe it, achieve it. But we spend so much time seeing all the bad, and we spend so much time achieving all these physical things that have no value at all, and then we believe that we've made it to the top. And boy, is it lonely up there, especially when you're burying your first child or you're walking away from your best friend who was your husband for years, but you lost the neck because you're so busy working. We lose what spirit has for us on a race for monetary gain. My hopes are that we attach more to what spirit has for us. We work harder for our purpose of this chosen path that spirit chose when it chose us to do this. And then when we get there, we turn around and look at all the blessings, all the things behind us that we've helped, that someone says, because of you, I feel like going on. Because of you, I didn't take my life. Because of you, I made a relationship with my 15-year-old daughter because we couldn't conversate, because we had no relationship, because I was gone so much, giving her everything that she wanted and nothing that she needed. Because of you, I can tell my husband now that I love you. Because of you, I can love my mother, my sister. I can do these things not based on a dollar, but because I recognize now that spirit costs more than this house. See, that's what we think. Spirit has a cost. It's not for free. It's hard work. Sacrifice. A lot of people who do what we do, you look at their bank account, and from what we say, they're struggling, but their spirit has so much residual income that they're not worried about a financial, tangible. When we get to that point as a whole, as a world, as a spirit, as a community, when we get to that point, all these things will fall off. No one else will be able to control us, from our government to the Congress, whatever the case want to be, whatever we're being controlled by. When we get to that point of existing in our own authenticity of spirit, everything we want, desire, want is going to show up. And it's going to be beautiful. And you're going to appreciate it. And you're going to have it forever. And it's going to be there, and it doesn't lose value like the brand-new car you bought that you spent 100 hours working for, and then you ride off the parking lot, and it's not worth nothing but you paid for. When you put time and energy into spirit, it never decreases in value.
Agreed. Agreed. I'm co-signing your commentary there, because it is certain that when I became conscious, when I awakened in my mid-30s, I discovered that I needed to give away all, to get the love I wanted, I needed to give away all the love I needed. And at this point, this is now 30 years later, there is more love coming to me like seed that was planted long ago, like a little tree seed that was planted. Now there's a great oak tree standing around me, covering me, and it's replenishing itself by what falls from it every year. There's more love coming to me now than I can contain. And I am the most grateful dude as a result of that, because it is naturally who I authentically am, and I could not stop myself from doing what I do if I wanted to. And I admire that in you. And there are a few of us out there, and there's a lot more than we get a chance to know, because we don't always get to share our truth with everybody. So sometimes too few people know who we are and what we're doing. Freedom, we have 90 seconds to go. Take 45 seconds of that and say to people how they might get in touch with you, consult with you, give that kind of information. Would you please?
Absolutely. Facebook, we're Freedom. I Love Anyhow Community. Instagram, essentially free. I Love Anyhow. YouTube. Please go watch the videos. You can see everything that goes on with Freedom of You, Alchemy, Love Anyhow on YouTube under Essentially Free Love Anyhow. And we always respond to DMs, new friends requests. Please share, subscribe, comment. I'm always open to feedback. And if you have any information that will help and apply Love Anyhow across the board, then we're absolutely open for brand new attendees as well.
My love sister, thank you for spending this time with me and for sharing with everybody. This audio will be available within the hour that we could begin to share it with as many people as we have in our networks. And reach someone, and it's going to cause somebody's awakening, and I am thankful for it already. For those of you who would like to receive the first three chapters of Love and Come Alive, send an email to info@OscarCrawfordMedia.com. Love you, Freedom.
Love you as well.